Thank you, everyone. I'm Cesar. Sorry, those that can stay. Sorry. I'll talk about introduction to formal verifications of digital circuits, which I like very much, and I hope you too. So why do you need a formal verification, or why would you want to use formal verification? So it's like a tool for finding bugs, and finding bugs is what you want to do, right? And simulation is another way to do it, to find bugs, and it's complementary. But in truth, I find I'm using more and more formal verification and not so much simulation. And it does help finding corner cases, which a normal simulation, you need to put many test vectors, random test vectors, to be able to even try to find these bugs. Like you have a sequence, a bug which is triggered, maybe you forgot to reset a finite state machine, maybe. And if you don't test in that sequence, you will miss the bug. And the formal verification will find the bug. It's really great. So here is a comparison. What does traditional simulation does, and what does the formal verification equivalent or near approximation is? So in traditional debugging simulation, you make a simulation, a few steps, want to look at the result, the traces, to see if it's going all right. The equivalent is the cover. It's not like a software coverage. No, it's something different. You tell what you want to see. So you don't drive the inputs. You let the formal verification engine drive the inputs. And you say, I want to see three transactions. Every time there is a transaction, a write or a read, I count, and I want that count to be three. And the engine will do everything it can to find these three, an input will give you these three transactions. If it can't, it will complain, not able, not possible. What is the equivalent to unit test? In unit test, you put some test vectors, and you actually assert the result. So it's automated, it's not manually. In formal verification, you have bounded model check, you have your model in a bounded, in a limited number of steps. I want to drive this model and simulate it and see if it reaches a bad state, an assertion. But it's not like an assertion. If I put input 2, it needs to return 4. It's not like this. You have to assert, given the inputs, which are driven by the formal engine, what the output should be. It's not a fixed number, not a fixed test. Test fixture is when you don't start from the beginning. Maybe you have several tests which share some common starting point, and you start from there. The closest equivalent will be K-induction, where the engine will try from any state to reach the bad state, or it will prove that from no starting point, it will reach a bad ending point, where the assertions doesn't hold. So, equivalent for random test cases, maybe you want a coverage, yes, for your system. You try randomly, because generated by hand is not feasible. You try to reach a corner case, but you cannot guarantee, you cannot actually see every the random will not cover every from zero to infinity or to the in the former case it does an exhaustive search of the inputs. So it's like random. If a random test will fail, it will find it. Yes. And the other difference is traditional tests can be procedural, like you count, you do for loops, you call functions, maybe. Informal, everything has to be synthesizable. Everything needs to be logic. There is no software in informal. It's all hardware. So if you want to verify something, you have to make a test harness to catch it, around it. In traditional simulation, you have test vectors, maybe a sequence of vectors which you want to see. And then in formal verification, you assume. So it's not completely random, completely free. The engine has to follow your rules. So if you have a valid signal, it has to stay stable while there is no ready from the next stage. Well, you have to tell it if it's if valid is up, then ready it is will stay up while ready isn't false in the previous stage. So you assume inputs and you assert outputs. That's the rule. In traditional simulation, you also do assertions for automated testing, right? So the workflow in formal verification should be like this. In your high-level definition, like hardware definition language, you put the assertions. Then it can be a Verilog, VHDL, or any other language like Python-based language, hardware languages. Then you make a work plan in this SBI tool, which drives the process. What processes? First, EOSIS. EOSIS, you maybe remember for the free FPGA and ASIC tooling. It will take your HDL to code that you can put into an FPGA. Well, EOSIS also synthesizes. Instead of an FPGA, it synthesizes to logic functions. Which logic functions? Well, there is a state, which is a state of all your design registers, all your memory. There is the initial predicate, which says this state is initial, like the registers are zero, the system is the reset state. Then is the transition relation from T. It takes a state to the next state, like a finite state machine, for instance. And then you have your assertions. All these in Boolean are Boolean functions, like AND or NOT and NAND. And then EOSIS, this other tool, EOSIS, SMTBMC, proves correctness or outputs a trace. It does a search for an initial path to the bad state, an exhaustive search. If the path is not found, the design is correct. And if found, it outputs an error trace. This is an example of a bad trace. So you have an initial state where the predicate holds, and there is a transition from S0 to S1 where the prediction, the conditions hold on S1, all the way to the final, the case state where there is a failure here in the assertions. So the engine takes all of this logic here and try all the inputs, so this one is true. And then it tells you the trace, which reaches this. So the algorithm is from zero steps, you prove the base case, which is no path from the initial state will reach a bad state in k steps, like mathematical proof. This is your base case. Then the induction step, no path ending into a bad state can be reached in k plus 1 states. So if you if the base case holds and the induction steps holds, then you proved it for infinite time. You can't hope to simulate for infinite time, but here you can. Yes. Like, this is why I call it we call it unbounded inductive proof. No bounds. With a finite proof, I can prove it for all time, for any input. Okay, well, but maybe inductive case I cannot prove in k, we try k plus 1, k plus 2, etc. It's guaranteed to end because you have a finite states, a number of states. Your number of registers is finite, is limited, so it can be extremely huge, the state space, but it's finite. It's 2 to the power of the number of flip-flops you have, right? But it's guaranteed to terminate. And there are very clever algorithms, so you don't have to try every single combination. So, let's try starting simple, right? This is a register with feedback. No input, no output, just internal state. What is the state diagram of this? If it's zero, it will be zero. It starts zero here, and it will keep being zero for all time. It can never reach the one state if it starts from zero. So we tell the engine, the formal proof engine, please prove that it will ever be zero. What he'll search for paths which end here at one. But there is no path. I can tell you, try it one step, k equals one. It will work because there is no path in one step which will reach actually in any number of steps, right? So the base case holds and the inductive steps always also holds. Complicate a bit. Now we have registered output. So here my notation is the first number here is R, which starts zero, and S will be a copy of R after 1 clock. So it's also zero. If R was one, then it will move to a copy of it in the next state, okay, and stay there. But you see there is no path to here. And if it starts zero and one here, it will go to zero and zero. It will lose the one in the next step. It will copy the error. So you can simulate the base case holds here. And the inductive case, well, just one, just k equals one is not enough here. Because from here to here, you can reach a bad state if you start from here. Remember, only the base case will start from the initial state. The inductive step will start from the bad states. It will start from here trying to reach a good state. So it starts from here, find it here and says, when step is not enough. So we try two steps. With two steps, yeah, it cannot be done. We have two good step, two good states, and one bad state. No way. So we have proven this case with two steps. Now, so well, let's complicate a bit. We have an enable now. The output can be zero, will not copy R, and then I enable it, and it can be it will be copied. So enable I put it here, so it can be here or here. You see I not label the transitions, and the input is actually inside the state. I treat it as a state also. Why? Because the transition relation is between two states. And maybe it's from the states and inputs, I get the next state. Well, but I put the two together, the input and the state is the state. Okay? Because the transition relation is a relation. It's not a function of the inputs. So you see from if enable is zero, it will keep 0, 0, 0. Likewise, if enable is zero, it will keep where it is. If enable goes to one, then, well, it goes to here. If enable goes to one, yes, it will copy. The input will be copied on the output. Yes, here. Here you have, for instance, R is 0 and S is 1. And enable now is 1. So in the next step, S will copy R. But you see, I'm asserting only that S must be 0. So R, I don't care. I don't know, actually. It's inside the design. So only these states are where S is 1 are bad, and all the states where S is 0 are good, independent of R. Independent of R. So you see, the base case is good. With two steps, it will never reach, the base case will never reach these bad states from here. Never, ever. And it will never reach. And, but now, what about if I have I'm in a bad state here, okay? So I try one, two steps. Okay, I'm not proving induction. I cannot prove induction in only two steps. You see, there is a path here. What is the path? R is 1, R is 0, not enabled. Then I enable, so it is copied. Now S is 1, it's a bad state. So in two states, I can reach a bad state. So let's try 3. What happens in 3? Well, I just repeat this, 1, 2, then 3. 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Yes. So you see this loop here. So I can try k equals 4, k equals 5. Induction will never prove it. Induction will never work. Why? Because I'm allowing this loop here. So in induction, you can't have loops, actually. Yes. Some engines will remove the loop for you. Loops actually don't matter because you're only repeating yourself, right? If there is a bad trace and you put a loop to repeat it, something in the middle, it only make the trace longer. So trace loops doesn't matter, no matter. So two ways to solve this. I break the loop. I say, if enable is 0, then in the next step, enable must be 1. I put a logic around This is the assumptions. Okay? The other way to solve this is to look inside and say R should be equal always to S. It will not make the proof wrong, because you are only strengthening the assertions. You're not allowing anything more that you already have. So if you say R must be equal to S, you are not doing anything wrong. So what will happen is these two will gain the X. By the way, the X I said are the bad states, right? The X, you know it. So now I put X here and X here. So the induction only has this X's up there to see about. And then in K steps it works, because there is no arrow from here. From these bad states, you can go to here, but not from here. So induction will work if these two are bad states. Okay. So this is the kind of thing you have to worry about in formal verification. Yes. Well, this is a flip-flop with input. So R will equal D after one step. So it goes from 0. It can start from here to here. And in next step, S will be equal to D. R will be equal to that, to D. So it will be 1 and 1. Or if it's 0, next D is 0, it will stay 0. So, but you actually cannot verify this. You cannot verify, like this, you cannot verify that D equals R. Because R will equal D in the next clock. So with this, you cannot assert anything. So what you do, you put a test harness around it. So you capture D in S. Now S is extra logic, which you need to prove that the flip-flop works. So I have here D, R, and S. So R, S is supposed to be equal to R, equal to 0. So it's supposed to, or if D is 1, then eventually both will get 1. So the good states are 0, 0 in the end, R and S, 0, 0, 0, 0, or 1, 1, 1, 1. What are the bad states? 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1. So, induction will work here, because this bad state can actually be reached. So with 0, k equals 0 or 1, it will already work. So this is an instance then where you need extra logic, external logic, to prove things. And this is, well, I will not talk about this one. I just put it to scare you. Okay? Too many arrows, too many states. Okay? Okay. Okay. So this is what will be, this will look in high-level definition machine, high language. This is Verilog. So we like usual, the simple one, which has the feedback. So R equals R. And you have this extra thing here, which if formal is definition is defined, then you assert that R is false. Okay? Not R, or you could write here R equal 0. It's the same thing. Okay? And this one won't be present if you target an FPGA, for instance. Only on formal. So you write the symbiosis write file. You prove you you put into the mode proof. You can do also BMC, only the base case here, or induction. You can choose. Here's the decay that I talked about. It is 1 or 10, what you need, you put here. Then the nice thing about EOSIS and formal verification, the engine which proves that statement, the long logic statement, this one, the engine is standardized. It is, the output is a standard, so you can you can choose the engine you want. You drive it from EOSIS, but what proves is actually EISIS or Z3 or anything else that accepts the output logic description that EOSIS outputs. Okay? So this is instructions for EOSIS here, and there's one missing here, which it is implicit, which is write SMT, write the logic here. But here you put the number of name of Verilog file and the top level of your design, and the files here. And then you run it, and it says induction, trying step 1, trying step 0, and trying base case, try induction, trying base case. Summary, it pass, so proof, successfully proven by K induction. And it passes. And you put this into your test suite, GitHub, something, GitLab, or not GitHub, sorry, if you can. Continuous integration test suite, yes, CI. This is an example with a Python-based language. So you put imports here. This is an imagen, by the way. I put here two registers instead of one because it will optimize away if I put only one with feedback. So I put two with feedback. Okay. And S will equal R1 and R2 in the next cycle, if the enable is true. This is one with enable. And then you assert that S is false, always, because in the initial state is false, is 0. So it will always be 0. And that is what happens. Forget this about a moment. It will fail induction. You remember, you can stay with enable false for infinity. It was a loop. So it outputs the failing case here. It will start in the case where R is 1 and S is 0. And I don't only care about S being 0, but S will be 1 here. How? Because enable was false for a long time. Then in the last possible time, it raises enable to 1, and you are cooked. Yes, you failed. So you go back and do the things I said. You assume that either enable is true, or in the past, enable was true. So you don't have a choice. If you're not enabled now, you'll be enabled next. So this, only this one will solve your problem. And the other one is this. You assert that the internal state is 0, which is true. You are not making any more mistakes. You're only making stronger conditions. Now, R must be false. Then you can prove it in 5 steps. And now it will pass. Like either one of these. This one, that's why I said this one is equivalent to gray box, maybe. Your design is not a black box. You need to see inside. there is an internal state which is not reached, maybe. So this is how one way to put memories in the thing. So test memories. So this is a memory. One way to test memories, you can have gigabyte of memory, but what you do is you only test one address. But which address? Any address. And then if the address is that what you tested, it will be captured here. And if you read from it, it will show the captured data. And the data need to be equal. So that's a way to test a memory. If it works for any one address, it will work for any address at all. So you can have gigabytes of memory, you only or megabytes. That's the same for you won't simulate gigabytes of memory. It will only simulate these registers and the memory location, one memory location. And this one is if you have a pipeline with streams, you can count the number of transactions coming in, the number of transactions coming out, and then you say the counts need to be compatible. You cannot have more coming in than coming out. That will mean you dropped packets. Or if you have more out than coming in, then you are duplicating packets. So that's a way to test. And that's one I'll skip. Okay. So thank you. Questions? You have questions? I have until when? My talk ends in 5 minutes, so you can. Yes, please.
In the Python example you've shown, I saw that the depth was manually specified.
Wait, if you can wait a bit before leaving, I still have 5 minutes, please.
So in the Python code you showed, I saw that the depth was manually specified. If the proof changes over time or you adjust your circuit, do you need to also adjust the proof? The depth, sorry.
Yes.
And if the depth is insufficient, will the proof fail?
Indeed. Well, the question was if you adjust the circuit, will need more steps in the proof. Yes, definitely.
And more importantly, if I change the circuit and I forget to change the depth, will the proof still pass if it doesn't have sufficient depth?
If it has insufficient depth, you surely will have a failure. Yes. Next question, maybe? No questions. Well, if you think about a question, please. I have some minutes left. Thank you. Okay, one more.
How does this scale to big circuits? Like, how much time does it take?
Okay, good question. Good question. So please calm down, people. The question was, if how much time it takes? What the complexity is? So one problem with formal verification. You can never be sure. You can have a simple design which takes tens of minutes. You don't know why. You made a modification. It 1 second. The other thing is solvers. Like I said, you can change the solver. Okay? If you change it, one will be fast, the other will be slow. If you change the circuit, vice versa, okay? So it's non-deterministic, really. Ah, yes. Good, thank you. Sorry, I was a bit nervous earlier. I am actually a dev room manager for this session, so I'm partially giving instructions to people here. Okay?
That's okay. It was good.
Thank you. So the audience thinks it was good. Perfect.
It was enjoyable. Definitely an enjoyable talk.
Well, if there is no much...
This was a good talk.
Okay.
Because I'm doing a lot of talk here.
Yes, and the one is set of infinite one.
Yes. And it's continued here.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, I'll finish then. Thank you very much. You can.